In this next part of the presentation, we'll talk about the application process and the first step to the application process if you're a new bidder. So if you have not participated in the AP Ohio CBP previously, is to submit a request for or to register for an application account. That is, the application process, as we mentioned, is online, and to obtain your credentials, to submit your information online in the application process, you have to register for an account. To do that, you can go on our information website, aapohiocbp.com, and under the Contact Us link on the left-hand side, the last sublink is to register for an application account. You can click on that. That will open up a form for you to provide the name of the company as well as the name of two contact persons for your bidding team. You can alternatively provide that same information of in the form of an email, and that is to provide the company name and the contact information to be able to provide us with the information that we need to issue your credentials. If you are a returning bidder, the previously provided login information in your account are already set up, so you don't need to do anything at that point. So a few reminders before we go into the details of the application process in terms of the requirements for the Part 1 and the Part 2 application. The first is, as I mentioned, for returning bidders, you don't have to register for an account. The previously used account is still there for you, and we will issue a reminder on your login credentials. And some of the information that you have provided previously through the online Part 1 and Part 2 form is retained. So the Part 1 form in particular is pre-populated with previously submitted contact information as well as any documentation that you provided previously to show that you are a market buyer and seller in PJM, for example. So to that extent, the application process for bidders that are returning is streamlined, and I'll be pointing out when we talk about the specific requirements for the Part 1 application, those items that are kept for returning bidders. Second feature to remind you of is that although you provide information through the online forms, there are also separate forms, word forms, that are called inserts, that you will be required to submit with the application. And the way these work is that you can fill out the inserts and, as required, if there's a signature that's required, print them, sign them, then scan them and upload them to the Part 1 and Part 2 forms. There is a opportunity with the Part 1 application to submit modifications to the pre-bid credit documents. And if you want to see before you propose your own modifications whether those modifications perhaps have already been approved and accepted by AP Ohio, you can check that out by looking at the acceptable modification for credit instruments, and those are posted to the CBP website. So I mentioned that in addition to the online Part 1 and Part 2 forms, that there are also additional word forms that are called inserts. And those additional forms, those additional inserts for the Part 1 application are listed here. There are a handful of these that are required of all bidders, including the representative designation insert, the insert that the representative signs on behalf of the bidders to accept the responsibilities that go with being the representative, the legal representative insert, and the certification inserts. Now, to note that some of these inserts, although they're required of all bidders, for returning bidders, your previously provided insert will be retained, including the insert to designate your representative, the insert for the representative to accept his or her responsibilities, as well as the legal representative insert. But the insert with certification must be provided by all bidders. There's also an opportunity for the representative to name additional members of your bidding team to receive information from the auction manager, and that is done through the designation of nominees. That's what we call those additional members of the bidding team. That's optional, but it must be done anew for each auction. The other inserts are for bidders that are in special circumstances. For example, the PJM requirements insert are for those bidders that have not provided the documents to show that they are loads of entities or market and buyers in PJM. And there are also inserts for bidders that are either foreign entities themselves or that rely on the creditworthiness of a foreign guarantor, or those bidders that need to declare a bidding agreement or arrangements for the auction. In the next few slides, I'll be going through the requirements for the Part 1 and the Part 2 application. The requirements for the Part 1 are simple. It includes providing contact information. So for the representative, the individual who will be representing the applicant in the application process and more generally in the auction, a contact information for a legal representative in Ohio, that's an individual or a company that agrees to accept service process on the applicant's behalf, and finally, contact information that can be optionally provided for additional members of the bidding team that would be then included in all electronic communications from the auction manager to the bidder. Our requirements that the applicant be qualified as a market buyer and market seller in PJM and also qualified as a load-serving entity. There are documents that can be provided to show that that is the case. And should it not be the case for an applicant, then the applicant has to certify that they understand those requirements and that they're ready to meet those requirements by the start of the supply period. There are other requirements for the Part 1 application, including certification, providing financial information, as well as optionally being able to request modification to pre-bid credit instruments. So for the certifications and financial information, all bidders, new and returning, have to provide that information. For the prior slide where we were talking about contact information, then the returning bidders, you will see that that information has been retained aside from the designation of the nominees. So there's going to be various certification, and this list of bullet is not complete, but basically you are going to agree to the terms under which the auction is being conducted, in particular agreeing to the terms of the master SSO supply agreement that is the controlling document for the transaction, agree to the CBP rules that detail how the auction will be conducted, and also agree to keep information that's related to the auction confidential. In terms of financial information, you'll be asked to provide annual and quarterly financial statements, credit ratings, and you will be asked if you are a foreign entity or you're relying on the creditworthiness of a foreign guarantor to provide additional information. All that information, those documents, can be simply uploaded to the application website in the Part 1 form, and those are required in the case where the bidder is relying on its own financial standing or is relying on the financial standing of another entity, such as the guarantor. if you are wanting to request modification to the pre-bid credit instruments, then you can submit a red line of the standard form via upload to the application website. Of note that if you ask for a modification and it is acceptable to AEP Ohio, then it will become part of the documents listing all acceptable modification on an optional basis, so that any modification that's accepted by for one bidder is also made available to all bidders on an optional basis. So that was the Part 1 application. As I noted, there are some information that's required from all bidders, whether you are new or returning, and some information is retained in the Part 1 form to streamline the application process for returning bidders. For the Part 2 application, all requirements that I'll speak to right now apply both to new and to returning bidders. Generally speaking, the Part 2 application requires a bidder that has successfully completed the Part 1 application to then submit an indicative offer, to submit pre-bid securities sufficient for that indicative offer, to make a number of certifications, and those certifications include certifications for compliance with the rules that are related to associations and to the handling of confidential information. So I'll go through those elements one by one and give you a little bit more detail here. The first thing that we talked about is the requirement to submit an indicative offer, and that's a maximum number of tranches that a bidder would be willing to bid at two different prices. One is the minimum starting price, and that was announced in the first part of the presentation to be $70 per megawatt hour, and at the maximum starting price of $95 per megawatt hour. So an indicative offer is simply a number of tranches. Now, of note is that the indicative offer at the maximum starting price determines the initial eligibility, and that was emphasized in the first part of the presentation. The initial eligibility then becomes the maximum number of tranches that a bidder can ever bid in the auction, because it's the number of tranches you can bid in round one, and then you can never increase the number of tranches from that point in the auction. It also determines the pre-bid security required with the Part 2 application, and basically it's just proportional to your indicative offer at the maximum starting price. Now, there are potentially constraints on the number of tranches that you can put in your indicative offer. One, because there are load caps that apply to each auction separately, in that a bidder cannot bid or win more than 80% of the tranches available at the start of the auction. So that's one type of limit. The other type of limit is that there are credit-based tranche caps that are determined by the credit rating of either the bidder is relying on its own financial standing, or the guarantor, if a bidder has a guarantor and is relying on that guarantor. And that's an overall cap that's in effect across all auctions under the CBP. So the threshold in terms of the credit ratings at which the credit-based tranche cap becomes a limit are provided on this slide with the number of tranches that are under credit-based tranche cap. So that becomes the maximum to the number of tranches that a bidder may put in its indicative offer. In terms of pre-bid security, I said that it was proportional to the indicative offer at the maximum starting price, and more precisely, the pre-bid security that's required is $500,000 per tranche of the indicative offer at the maximum starting price, and that can be provided in the form of a letter of credit or cash, and there is no additional pre-bid security that is required for this auction. Now, to come back to a theme that was first highlighted in the first part of the presentation the format of the pre-bid or the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit has changed, so that you should download that new format. And also, as you may have noticed when we went through the schedule for this auction, some of the time frames are shorter than they may have been in other auctions under the CBP. So please note those shortened time frames and make sure that you are aware of them in submitting your materials for the Part 1 and the Part 2 application. In addition to pre-bid security, as I noted, there are a number of certifications to be made by bidders, including agreeing that all bids in the auction are binding obligations, agreeing not to assign rights as registered bidder should you be successful in the Part 2 application. And those certifications also include compliance with the association and confidential information rules. Those are provided in Article 10 of the CBP rules. Basically, an association is a relationship between applicants that may mean that they don't fully compete against one another. So you are required to certify that there are no such association or to provide an explanation. And there are a number of certifications that require you to keep information that's related to the auction confidential. There are also inserts for the Part 2 application, although the list here is much shorter. So all bidders are required, and new and returning bidders are required to submit their certification using the certifications insert. And there is also a certification for the case where a bidder is providing cash instead of a letter of credit. So there's an additional inserts to upload to the Part 2 application form if you are choosing to submit your pre-bid security in cash. That completes our overview of the application process with a little bit more detail on each of the requirements. In the next part, we'll be talking a little bit more about bidding in the auction. We mentioned the first part of the presentation that this is the sending clock auction format. We talked a little bit about the rules and emphasized that this was a multiple round process. So each round of the auction actually is further subdivided into three phases. There's a bidding phase, and that's the phase during which suppliers are going to submit their bids, meaning that they're going to state how many tranches they want to supply at the going price of the round. And the going price for the round is announced by the auction manager. For the first round of the auction manager will inform registered bidders, so those bidders that have been successful in the Part 2 application. The auction manager will inform those bidders of the round one price 3 days before the start of the auction. When the bidding phase closes, then the calculating phase begins, and that's when the auction manager tabulates the results of that round's bidding phase and also calculates the price for the next round. During the calculating phase, bidders can no longer submit bids, and bidders do not yet have information regarding the results of the prior bidding round. When the calculating phase ends, then the reporting phase begins, and at that point, information is provided to bidders, aggregate auction information, namely the excess supply range and the going price for the next round. I'll talk a little bit about the bids and how those bids are submitted first at a general high level and then at a more practical level in terms of how the bid procedures work for AAP Ohio CBP. So starting with the basics, in round one, a bid is simply a number of tranches that the bidder is willing to supply at the round one price, which will have been announced to registered bidders 3 days prior to the start of the auction. There are constraints on that bid. Namely, the bidder cannot bid more than its initial eligibility. And just a reminder that the initial eligibility is determined by the indicative offer at the maximum starting price submitted in the Part 2 application. And also, as a reminder, the bidder will not be able to increase the number of tranches bid throughout the auction, so whatever is bid in Round 1 also serves as an upper bound on the number of tranches that that bidder can bid. We'll note here that there's a possible reduction of the tranche target if there's insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding. The criteria to reduce the tranche target have been determined prior to the auction, but will not be announced to bidders. Once certain pre-specified criteria have been met, however, the auction manager's discretion to reduce the tranche target is eliminated from that point on in the auction. At the end of Round 1, so after the bidding phase and after the calculating phase when results are tabulated, information are provided back to bidders in the reporting phase.
Those are the reports that become available to bidders in the reporting phase of the round. Those include aggregate information provided to bidders, namely the range of excess supply, which here is shown at 51 to 55 tranches, and the price for the next round. Here the round two price is $67.75. In addition, each bidder sees the result of the bidder's own bid. Now that's true in round one, that's also true in any round. Of note, the bidder has aggregate information about the auction results. The bidder has the result of the bidder's own bid, but the bidder has no information about other bidders' bids, their identities, or their eligibilities at any point in the auction.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will proceed here on slide 39. Just a recap. The decrement is the amount in which the price will tick down from one round to the next. The decrement is related to the amount of excess supply that is left in the auction, and it is determined based on the formula that will be provided to bidders. We will provide this as part of your bidder user manual, but we have the right and the ability to overwrite the decrement based on the auction manager's discretion under certain circumstances. You'll find the possible ranges of excess supply provided in the bidder user manual as well. As we have mentioned, the decrement is a function or will make use as an input the amount of excess supply that is left in the auction. And the bidder user manual for which this information will be provided to you as part of your Part 2 notification, and this will go out to registered bidders. So bidding in Round 2 and subsequent rounds, as we have mentioned, going forward, after you have placed your bids in Round 1, going forward, in response to reduced prices, you may leave your bids unchanged, meaning that you may maintain the number of tranches you bid in Round 1, or you may reduce the number of tranches that you are willing to supply by withdrawing tranches from the auction. So you may either maintain or you may reduce the number of tranches, but you may never at any point in time increase the number of tranches you bid from one round to the next. And in Round 2, to be more specific, the eligibility is the number of tranches that you bid in Round 1. The eligibility basically is the number of tranches that you may bid in a particular round. In Round 3 and subsequent rounds, the number of tranches you may bid, meaning your eligibility in the round, Round 3 and onwards, is simply your eligibility in the prior round less any tranches that you have withdrawn from the auction in the prior round. And when reducing the number of tranches, meaning that if you withdraw your tranches from the auction, you'll be asked to provide an exit price. And an exit price is basically the last and best offer in terms of for the number of tranches that you're taking out from the auction. And the constraints that you must observe is that the exit price must be above the current going price and below or equal to the previous going price. And we have provided an example here on slide 41. So in this example, in round one, we started the auction at $70 per megawatt hour. This bidder provided a bid of three tranches in round one. In round two, this bidder withdrew one tranche, and the going price at round two was $65.75. So the bidder needs to name an exit price, which is the last and best offer for that one tranche that the bidder is withdrawing, and names an exit price of $67.37 for this one tranche that the bidder is withdrawing. This is what we call an exit price. And I will explain why the exit price may be needed subsequently. But here, we will spend a minute on slide 42 to talk about how does the auction continue and when does it close. So the auction will continue round by round as long as there is excess supply, meaning that at the end of the round, if we collected all the bids, there are more tranches bid than there are tranches available for you to bid on than needed, then that is when the auction will continue. And the auction will close only when there is no longer any excess supply, meaning that the number of tranches bid is exactly or is meaning is equal to or is less than the number of tranches available. And at that point, that is known as the final round. When the auction closes, there will be one uniform price that is determined, and that price is known as the auction clearing price. It does not need to be the going price of the final round. It could be a price that is higher than the going price of the final round. So we'll cover these two cases. So the first case in which we will talk about is when the number of tranches bid is equal to the number of tranches available. In that case, the auction clearing price is the price of the final round in which all bidders will receive to serve load under the Master SSO supply agreement. The second case is if there are less tranches bid than tranches available. As you move from a situation where there is excess supply in one round, and as the price ticked down in the next round, in response to the reduced price, bidders withdrew or have withdrawn tranches, and therefore you have a situation where there are fewer tranches bid than tranches available. So at that point, we will look at the exit prices, and the auction clearing price will be the lowest exit price at which all tranches are available and that are filled. So to fix ideas, we have this example here provided between round 11 and round 12. And basically, from round 11, we have a situation of excess supply. And when we move down the price in round 12, as the price ticks down in response to the price tick down, bidders have withdrawn tranches and thereby leaving us with a situation where we have less than what we need. And so this auction clearing price example shows us the second scenario in which I talked about earlier, where you have less tranches bid than tranches available. So in this case, to be more precise, in round 11, we have three bidders bidding. In this simple example, bidder A bidding a total of seven tranches, bidder B bidding a total of eight tranches, and bidder C four tranches at the going price of $39.42 per megawatt hour. This means that we have a total of 19 tranches that are bid for a target of 17 tranches that is available. So we have two tranches that is considered excess supply. As we move on to round 12, with a reduced price of $38.68, we have a total number of tranches bid to be 14 tranches for the same target of 17 tranches. And now we have to fill the target of 17 tranches by taking bids that have been withdrawn, and in total we need an additional 3 bids or 3 tranches to get to the target. At round 12, bidder A bid 5 tranches and we drew 2 tranches with an exit price of $38.69. Bidder B bid 7 tranches and we drew 1 tranche at $38.99. And bidder C bid 2 tranches and we drew 2 tranches at $39.42 per megawatt hour. So in order to fill the tranche target of 17 tranches, the first thing we do is we will take the tranches in price order. We will first take all 14 tranches, bid at the going price. That's the step one that you see on this slide. Step two is that we will take tranches that are associated with the next exit price in that order, in that price order. So the lowest exit price that we have is from bidder A at $38.69. We'll take 2 tranches from bidder A, but we still need 1 tranche. We will take that 1 tranche from bidder B at $38.99. So at $38.99, it is also the place or that price in which we have a total of 17 tranches to meet the target of 17 tranches that is available for bid. And that is what we will determine as the auction clearing price, $38.99 per megawatt hour. That is the lowest price at which all tranches available are filled. The key thing to remember here is that this auction features a uniform auction clearing price, meaning that all bidders will receive this price, $38.99, whether you are bidder B in this case or not. Bidder A will receive that, bidder C will receive that as well, the auction clearing price of $38.99 to be served under the Master SSO supply agreement. So in terms of the basics of the bidding methods, there are really two things to take away here. The first is that bidding is done online and you submit your bids using an auction software. March 22nd is the date that we have set aside for the trial auction. It's the opportunity to practice all aspects of this bid submission process. The backup bid procedure is by phone, and this is done only in an emergency basis and only if you cannot use the auction software because of technical issues on your site, where, for example, if the internet has gone down on your site or if your computer is having issues submitting a bid, the backup method is by phone. The thing to note is that there is no advantage to placing a bid by phone versus doing it online using the software. We are having a backup procedure only if the auction software is not functioning or is facing technical difficulties on your end. The last bid that is submitted and verified by the bidder in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. What happens in a backup bidding procedure by phone is that a technical assistant needs to enter into the software on your behalf using certain credentials that you provide to us. We have no advantage in doing so. We are not doing this any faster than you would entering the bids yourself. So again, the bid that is submitted by yourself and verified by yourself, or the bid that is submitted by us on your behalf and verified by us on your behalf, that is processed by the auction software, is the binding bid that counts. And this is the binding bid. When it is processed by the software, it is not when you call in. Please ensure that you submit your bids on time. It is your responsibility to make sure that you have the right systems in place to minimize any chance that you may face technical difficulties or impair your ability to bid in the auction. If you are facing technical difficulty and it seems like you're early in the bidding phase, we do ask that you call in immediately and not wait till the end of the bidding phase to try to resolve the issue. calling us early at the first sign of technical difficulty will help increase your chances that you'll get your bids in on time. If we do take a backup bid, and if you are providing a backup bid to us, please ensure that you will provide that to us by phone, that in a way that is a complete bid, consistent with the CBP rules. In terms of system requirements, they are fairly minimal, and they basically will require you to have a standard PC, either a PC or a Mac with the specifications of Windows 7 or later, or a Mac OS 10.7 or later. You need to have an internet connection, and we do ask that if you are using a primary company network, that you may have a secondary access as well through an alternative ISP if possible. And in terms of supported web browsers, we are supporting Internet Explorer 9 or later, as well as the most recent version of Firefox, Safari, as well as Chrome from Google. And in terms of backup systems, please have additional systems in place. Consider having backup laptops and a backup connection. You may also consider having bidding teams in two different locations, so that if a system goes down, your bidding team in another location can pick up where you have left off in the event of technical difficulties. All right, that sort of covers the bidding procedures and at a very high level, the how to submit a bid in the software, as well as the backup bidding procedures. You will again have a chance to practice all of those aspects, including a chance to enter a backup bid during the trial auction. That is your chance to participate. We do ask that you take that seriously. In terms of the website, as I have mentioned early on, is the central source of information. The website again is aepohiocbp.com. You have a screenshot here, and the website is structured in a way that is fairly intuitive. On the left side, you'll find the left navigation bar with a series of links. On the right, you'll have key dates and announcements. Again, by finding information that you need, the first step in the process is really for you, if you have not done so, to click on Contact Us and to register yourself on our website. And then in addition to that, to register to receive an application account. You can find that through the Contact Us link. In terms of the documents that will be relevant to you, it is all found on the Information tab. Click on Information, there will be information as what you'll find here. The CBP rules, the master supply agreement, the qualification forms or application forms, they are all provided there. These are all the governing documents. In addition to that, you also find other information that is required for you to submit an application. And some of them include the credit instruments, your pre-bid letter of credit in particular, as well as other information like the glossary of key terms. The screenshot again is provided here. It looks just like this on the website. We do ask that you visit the website for the documents and download them and read them so that you can understand the terms in which you're participating under this auction process. We also provide data in the data room. The data room is updated on the 20th of each month. So please do check the data room regularly, as it is updated quite frequently and certainly on a monthly basis. So in terms of what we provide on the data room, there are information that are provided on a monthly basis, and then there are information that are provided on a one-off basis that are updated less frequently. We provide you hourly energy data, as you will need to follow the load. We provide you historical data, but not on a forecast basis. We provide you historical energy data for both the CSP rate zone as well as the OPCO rate zone. We also provide this information for SSO supply, for SSO customers, as well as the load of customers that are served by CREST suppliers so that you can look at the load associated with shopping versus load that are associated with SSO. Customer counts are also provided. Customer counts are provided as well as some information by customer groups, as well as providing them in aggregate. You'll find this information in the data room. And then besides that, we also have PLC and NSPL data, including information related to PIB. As we have mentioned, the information for SSO customers at some point has been under the first three option includes PIB customers load. But in the last three subsequent option, including this sixth option, the SSO supplier will not be responsible for PIB load. So some information on PIB is also provided there on a historical basis. Other items to note for you on the CBP website is that, as I have mentioned, you may ask your questions through the CBP website. And to do so, click on the Contact Us link, and you'll find a secondary sublink that will appear that is labeled Ask a Question. And you can ask your question using that form outside of this webcast. And that is the primary preferred way for us to receive your questions to ensure that we have your questions and we'll be able to process your questions from there. The way the FAQ process works is that once you submit your questions to us, we typically ask for a 2-working day turnaround to respond to your questions. And we will respond to you via email. If we expect delays in responding to your questions, we will let you know that it may require additional time as we research your question, as we look into a response that may be appropriate. Otherwise, we do expect to turn around questions within 2 business days. We answer you with a response by email within that time frame, and shortly after, we will post the question as well as the response that we provided to you on the CBP website in the FAQ section. And we will do so without revealing the identity of the asking party. And to be clear, at that point, if we need to, and if the question itself contains identification information that may identify you as the asking party, we will, at a commercially reasonable basis, redact that information, so that it will be generic enough without revealing who the asking party is. And you may also certainly contact us via email at this email address that we have provided here. You will be expected to receive emails from this account as well, aep-cbp@nira.com. This slide, again, as well as the audio recording and all answers to your questions on this webcast will be provided to you on the CBP website. We provide our contact information here for your convenience. The full address is provided here. As I have mentioned, the application process is online. The only information that we will ever require of you that is in hard copy is the delivery of your pre-bid letter of credit. And we provide here the address for your reference and convenience as well. So the letter of credit, if you're doing that instead of cash, please send it to the auction manager at this address. But besides that, everything else is done online, and you can also email us with additional information online. So at this point in time, I will conclude the presentation portion of this webcast.